Don't worry, you're not going to hear any hunting stories this morning. Don't have any to tell. Quite a few have been reminding me of that. And I might look like Pastor Jeff, but I'm really Joe. And you might wonder, what's in this bag? This bag is normally not noticeable, but it's always with me. It represents the burden that I have to carry. And for me, the burden that I have to carry is financial problems, financial stress. I always seem like I do not have enough money at the end of the month to pay my bills. It's not a problem that I've been putting up with for a few weeks or a few months. For years, I'm always behind. I have credit card debt that I can never get a handle on. And now that it's Christmas, guess what? My wife thinks we need to buy everybody Christmas gifts. Aunts, uncles, cousins, people at work, neighbors. Most of them I don't even like. Think about it. Why would we want to spend money or buy gifts for people we don't like with money we don't have? I've been fighting a lot with my wife, Sue. Constantly, 24/7, this burden is with me. When I go to bed at night, I think about, how am I going to come up with enough money to pay the bills? They're even talking about foreclosing on our house. When I wake up in the morning, it's right in my face. When I go about my day, it's right there. I can't get away from it. Gets weary carrying this bag, this burden. I need rest. Now, I may or may not look like Pastor Jeff. Hopefully, I don't. Right now, I'm Sue. And Joe is my husband. And he is right. Everything he said is true. We have financial problems. He is stressed out over his financial problems. He is an angry, bitter man because years he's been putting up with that. But there's one thing he hasn't told you. The reason we are in financial problems is because of his spending issues. He went out and he bought a new pickup truck. That's why they might foreclose on our house. I am so stressed out. I've been taking medication. We fight all the time. Joe talks about 24/7, having to face his burden of financial problems. Well, 24/7, I have to put up with him. You know what it's like to crawl in bed next to somebody you can't stand? To wake up the next morning and have to live with his anger? Hasn't been weeks, hasn't been months. It's been years. Honestly, I don't remember a time in our marriage when I haven't had to carry this burden of a marriage that really stinks. It's tiring. It wears on you. You can't get away from it. You might not see this burden, but it's always there. It gets weary. I need rest. I'm Andrew. Joe's my dad. Sue's my mom. Guess what my life is like? Fun, huh? Everything they said is true. Dad is angry. He's miserable. He's always been miserable. He's so consumed with trying to figure out how to pay the bills. He's so consumed with his new truck Mom's a basket case. She's depressed all the time. That's why she's on medication. She's full of anxiety. She's depressed over Dad. And I have to live with all of this. I look at my friends. Some of them have a mom and dad who care about each other. Some of them have a dad who engages with their son. Not my dad. I used to think, oh, I can't wait till I get out of the house. I'll be 18 and I'll be out of here. Then I won't have to put up with this. Last night I realized, they're still my mom and dad. They're still going to be messed up. I'm still going to want a dad to engage in me, to engage with me, to somebody to help me out, navigate through life. It's been dysfunctional ever since I can remember. Gets tiring, gets weary. I need some rest. Hopefully, this scenario doesn't hit too close to home. But the reality is, all of us have burdens that we're carrying around. All of us have challenges, difficult circumstances in our life that eventually beat us down and wear us out. This morning, we want to talk about how do we find rest for those who are weary. Let's take a moment to pray. As we take a moment to pause, appreciated what Keith did earlier. It's really helpful for me to think back over this past week and to see how God came through and the prayers he answered. But now I want you to take a moment to think about, what is it that I've been carrying around? It might be a burden that nobody else is aware of. For some of you, you don't even have to think about it. It's right there in your face. For some of you, it's not just one burden, it's three of them. For some of you, you might have to think about it. But for God to be able to use his scripture in our hearts this morning, it would be helpful if you would be able to identify the burden that you carry around. For some of you, it may be hard to identify because you've lived with it so long. Or it might be hard to identify because you've just sort of stuffed it down. And you've learned to cope with it. Well, what are the burdens that you have to carry around that are wearing you out? Dear Heavenly Father, if it's simply me standing up here this morning, we're wasting our time. Lord, we need you, the true and the living God, to take your living word and use it to penetrate our hearts. We need your Holy Spirit to move and to speak, to convict, to give words of hope. Lord, this time is yours. Use it for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We're just going to look at three verses this morning. We're going to camp out there for the next 25 minutes or so. God's solution for the weary. Rest. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. If you open up your Bible about a little bit past the halfway mark, you should come to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read the words of Jesus, 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I encourage you to take notes this morning. The problem that we've identified, the problem that Jesus identified, is that many of us are weary and we're burdened down. You see, Jesus understood that we live in a fallen world. He understood that we're broken, that we have a sin nature, and because we're broken, our relationships are going to be broken. And he realized that broken people with broken relationships living in a fallen world are going to get weary. They're going to get tired. It's just the reality for us in a broken world. And so Jesus says this, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to draw a big line right through the word, the solution. And I want you to put in the offer. Because Jesus is making an offer. I think that is a better description of what Jesus is doing here in this text. He's putting an offer on the table. Rest. Not just physical rest. Mental, emotional, spiritual, physical rest. That's the offer that's on the table. And you know the best part about that? Is who is it for? Who is that offer for? All of us. Everyone. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter how old you are. Young or old. No matter what you've done. The offer is on the table. You can have rest. For some of you, that's hard to believe. You're probably thinking, Jesus didn't really understand all that I'm dealing with. He really doesn't understand my past, my issue, my circumstances. And some of you have concluded, you know what? That's a pipe dream. I've given up on rest, relief, and refreshment for my soul. I've given up on the idea that I can navigate through life and be at peace with God and at peace with myself apart from my circumstances. You've bought into the lie. That's what it is. It's a lie that you can't have rest. You might say, well, Jeff, it feels real. It's not a lie. That's reality. If you knew how many counselors I've been to, how much medication I'm on, and I still can't find rest. I want you to know this morning that this message is for you. This offer is for you. Rest is available to you. So how do we find rest? Three of the most important words in this text are the first three. Come to me. Do you understand the impact of that? Come to me. Rest is found in Jesus. Jesus invites us to come to himself. He's offering himself in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives. If I didn't believe that rest is found in Jesus, I would quit and go home. I'd say, let's shut this place down. I am absolutely convinced that this offer is available to all of us. First and foremost, this is the word of God. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't put any conditions on it. This is what's available in Christ. I've also experienced it. I've also seen individuals very close to me that if you would look at their life, if you would look at their past, you would look at their issues, and you would have said to them years ago, you can have rest. They would say, "Ah, oh, I don't think so. I've seen it. I've experienced it." Last night, I was actually in here at 9 o'clock going through the message. Came up with the idea to wear the wig. My daughter says to me this morning, "Jeff, why do you want my wig?" She goes, "You aren't going to wear that, are you?" I'm like, "Yeah, for the message." She says, "Well, you'll have their attention then, Dad." But I was down here last night at 9 o'clock, and I get a phone call from a young lady who had in youth ministry quite a few years ago. She's out in Altoona. She says, "Jeff, Can I talk to you confidentially? There's some things going on in my family. She spent the day crying with her grandparents. You know what? I was so glad to be available to her and point her to Jesus, to let her know in the midst of that circumstance, she can find rest. Might not happen overnight, but God has made a way for her to have rest in her circumstances through Jesus. Take notice what the offer isn't. It's not to give you a trouble-free life. Jesus doesn't offer that. He may or may not change your circumstances, but he's promising. Take a look at the quote. That in the midst of whatever is going on in our lives, he is there, the true and the living God. We live in a self-help world where there's four steps to solve just about every problem. And to be honest with you, in some ways that would be almost more appealing for me this morning. If there was just four steps that I could take and I could experience rest. Four steps that I could give to you this morning. Why? Because we're doers. Say, oh yeah, I can fix that. I can take care of that. Just tell me what I need to do. Sometimes when people come in my office, they got struggles. They're looking for me to give them the four steps. I don't have four steps. But I can offer them Jesus. A living relationship with the true and the living God. And be assured that he will enter into your circumstances. He will pave the way for you to experience rest. How else do we find rest? Take a look at this passage. He makes another interesting offer in verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you. And when was the last time somebody said that to you? Take my yoke upon you. Even though I grew up on a farm, I'm not ever sure I've physically seen a wooden yoke. But hopefully you've seen pictures and you know what I'm talking about. That wooden harness that goes over the neck of an ox that pulls a cart. Jesus was speaking to people in society and culture where they would have understood this word picture of a yoke. You see, when they had things that were heavy, that need to be carried, what would they do with them? They would put them on a wagon, a cart, and the oxen would carry them. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Look at verse 30. What else does he say? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke. My burden is easy and light. To help us to understand what Jesus is trying to communicate to his listeners and to us, let's look at the context. Let's continue to read on. When Matthew wrote this, there wasn't chapters, there wasn't verses. Take a look at the very next verse after verse 30. In fact, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. Jesus understood that his listeners lived in a culture where they were having to abide by these Old Testament rules and regulations. Not simply having rules and regulations, but rules and regulations that would earn their approval before God. Jesus understood that if you're going through life and you have difficult circumstances, and on top of your difficult circumstances, you feel pressure to keep these laws to win and to earn the blessing and the approval of God. You want to talk about a weight? These people sense that their eternal destiny, their well-being in relationship to God was based on what they had to do. That's why the Pharisees were saying, Jesus, your disciples were picking grain on the Sabbath, breaking a law. So Jesus is saying, in this context, where you're having to earn God's approval, take upon my yoke. My yoke is easy. My yoke is light. Let's do a little contrast here. Our burdens aren't easy, and they're not light. In fact, they're just the opposite, hard and heavy. Our burdens include guilt from the past. You know what some of you carry around 24/7? Guilt. Maybe you had an abortion. Maybe your girlfriend had an abortion. Maybe you stole something from a store or your employer. I don't know what it is. But 24/7, you don't have rest because of the guilt from the past. That's heavy. That wears you out. That saps the joy and life out of you. Our burdens include earning God's approval. Thinking somehow if we go to church and we live a good life and we read the Bible and we pray, then God will be pleased. Having to perform for others so that they won't reject us, so they'll approve. Having to perform for God. They're the burdens that we carry around beyond our difficult circumstances. Now contrast that with what Jesus is saying, what Jesus is communicating. He says, trade in your burdens for my yoke. It's easy and light. The yoke of Jesus includes forgiveness. That's what he was communicating to his listeners here. Repent of your sins, if you read before this passage. Turn from your sin. Turn from your self-righteousness. Find forgiveness. The yoke of Jesus is easy and light, because he offers us unconditional love and acceptance. In a world where we have to earn people's approval, Jesus says, take my yoke. I'm offering you unconditional love and acceptance through the cross. The yoke of Jesus includes his grace. He loves us. He blesses us in ways we can never repay, in ways we never deserve. He's saying, trade in your burdens for my yoke. Is that a once and done thing? No. Something we have to do throughout each day. Say, oh man, what's that weight? What am I carrying around this afternoon? I don't need to carry that around. Jesus is offering me rest. Jesus is saying, trade that in for my yoke. How else can we find rest this morning? Look again at verse 29. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Taking a look at this text, I think it could be easily translated and maybe even more accurately translated. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You see, rest is found in getting to know Jesus. If you're taking notes, rest is found in learning to walk closely with Jesus. The bottom of the handout, I have the Message. It's a modern day translation of this text. When I read this, I was like, oh my goodness, does this capture it? Does this put it in terms that I can grab hold of? Follow along as I read. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Those three words again. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There is a direct correlation between our ability to experience rest in the midst of trials and circumstances and how closely we walk with Jesus. Walk closely with Jesus, submitting to him, surrendering to him, dialoguing with him, relating with him, abiding in him. It's amazing how we can have rest. No Jesus, lose perspective. No relationship with Jesus, no rest. Jesus isn't offering you a trouble-free life. What he's offering you is himself. A relationship with the true and the living God, where he communicates to us through his word, through the Holy Spirit. He's not offering you a formula. He's not offering you a four-step process. He's offering you himself, the greatest gift that he could ever give us. The reason we celebrate Christmas, the gift of Jesus. If we go back to Jill and to Sue and to Andrew, their circumstances may never change. Joe might have financial struggles the rest of his life. Sue's marriage may never get better. Andrew might always be part of a dysfunctional family. But the offer on the table is that they can find rest apart from their circumstances through Jesus. Through walking closely with him, through trading in their burdens for their yoke. Jesus is enough, no matter what your circumstances are. For those of you who could identify with Jeff, I don't think I'm ever going to experience rest. My life is way too complicated. I'm here to tell you that it might not happen overnight, but Jesus desires for you to have rest. And as you submit and surrender yourself to him, as you enter into relationship with Christ, he will pave the way. It's not going to happen overnight. But he will lead you through a process that might be hard, that might be painful. You'll have to uncover the things that you've been grabbing hold of to cope with your burdens. You might have to unpack some lies you've been believing. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. But Jesus will lead you through a process to give you rest. Listen to this song. I think it captures this morning's message well.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus.
dying. Oh, when I come to die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Just give me Jesus.
Says it well, right? In the midst of a crazy holiday season, give me Jesus. When I'm ready to die, give me Jesus. I can have rest in the midst of the chaos. I can have rest when I'm looking to leave this earth. I can have rest for my soul through Jesus. Let's pray. Close your eyes, bow your heads. How many of you would be willing to raise your hand this morning and say, you know what? I've been carrying around some burdens and I've been getting pretty weary. And I need to find that rest that Jesus is talking about in my relationship with Christ. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Here's what I'd ask you to do. Tell one person today that you need to find rest in the midst of your circumstances. Might be your husband, might be a significant other, might be a friend, might be a family member. But God doesn't want you to carry that burden by yourself. And He's placed us in the body of Christ where we're literally His hands and feet. And the process for you coming to find your rest in Christ isn't going to be in isolation. I can tell you that right now. It's going to be in the context of relationships. And so before this day is out, send an email. Pick up the phone. Make a phone call. Ask your spouse for some undivided attention this afternoon. Say, you got to talk this through with me. I didn't get a three-step formula or process from Pastor Jeff. Can we talk about this? Can we pray about this? Will you come alongside me? If you're here this morning and you raised your hand and you honestly say, Jeff, I don't have anybody in my life that I can go to help me find rest in Jesus. Feel free to call the office. One of the pastors would be more than willing to follow up with you this week. Let's stand. Closing benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. Lord, I sense in our midst it's heavy, for life is hard. It's a broken world. We're broken. We have broken relationships. But Lord, help us to grab hold of the hope and the peace and the rest and to celebrate that this afternoon, Lord. To worship you, to praise you, to soak in your gifts, whatever they may be. Lord, you are a good God. You gave us the greatest gift of all, the greatest offer of all, your Son Jesus, so that we might be at peace with you, at peace with ourselves, in the midst of our circumstances. Dear Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, you would do a work in our hearts this week, so that we might reflect and reveal you to others. We might reflect and reveal your glory to a broken world, to others, Lord, who are looking for rest. Live in us. Help us to abide in you so that you can be exalted in our lives and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.